NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, presents The Space Story. They used to be enemies, conspiring in secret to gain the technological edge over each other. Now, Russian and U.S. aerospace engineers are working side by side to develop technology for the supersonic passenger jets of the next century. The irony is not lost on the engineers working on the project. Lou Williams is NASA's Director for High Speed Research.
It's really neat because it combines a manufacturer that previously was the premier manufacturer for bombers in Russia with our industry, including Rockwell, that manufactures bombers, the B-1 bomber in the United States. So we're taking these Cold War warriors and putting them together, working together on a civil project.
Next year, a team of engineers from NASA, U.S., and Russian industry will begin using the Russian Tu-144 aircraft as a testbed for studying problems in supersonic flight. The Tu-144 was designed in the 1960s at the Tupolev Design Bureau, but is now retired from operational flight. The Russian plane will help U.S. engineers design the next generation SST. That effort, says Williams, is just getting underway.
The high-speed research program that we're doing with the industry is very different from the SST program of the 60s and 70s, in that it's not focused on a vehicle, per se. That was where the government put out a contract, received bids to build a prototype airplane. What we're doing is the technology in advance of the industry taking on the role of designing and building the airplane. So we're doing the upfront work to see whether it's feasible and to develop the technology.
If all goes well, the next generation SST could be flying across the Pacific by the first decade of the next century. It would carry passengers from Los Angeles to Tokyo in 4 hours instead of the current 10. Today's SST, on the other hand, is limited to shorter transatlantic runs. And ticket prices are well beyond the reach of the ordinary passenger.
So we're looking at an airplane that goes nearly twice as far, more like 5,000 to 6,500 nautical miles, carries 2 to 3 times the passengers, 250 to 300 passengers, and does it at fare levels that are very close to today's subsonic fares, as well as friendly to the ozone layer, does not destroy ozone, and is quiet around the airports. So it's as quiet as today's subsonic new airplanes. That's a big challenge, but we think that the technology can be developed to make that possible.
To reach their goal, engineers will have to develop new materials, structures, and engines. What the Russian Tu-144 offers is a chance to gather basic research data using a real SST, one of only two in existence. Although the Concorde is better known, Williams says the Tu-144 is every bit as impressive in its engineering.
It has some features on it that are actually more advanced than the Concorde. It has, for example, it has a canard. It has a lifting surface like a tail on the nose of the airplane in order to provide improved lift performance for shorter takeoff and landing distances. About 15% of the airframe is titanium. It's a very sophisticated airplane, particularly considering the time it was built.
To fly the Tu-144 at speeds faster than it originally was designed for, it will be fitted with engines borrowed from the Russian Blackjack supersonic bomber. Russian pilots will do most of the flying, with the test flights scheduled to take place over Russia. This is a case, says Williams, where one nation's capability meets another's needs perfectly. And it will give SST designers in both countries a chance to finally learn what the other side was working on for all those years.
When you get the engineers together, they speak a common language, even if one does speak Russian and the other English. And they bring out the notes and they compare what they did, why they made the design selection they did on this airplane, things that they may have tried that didn't work, things that did work well. And they learn a lot, and we learn a lot, by interacting with them on that. Because it is the only other supersonic transport that was manufactured and put into service.
This has been The Space Story, brought to you by this station and NASA. For the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, I'm Bob Tebow.